Hey, good morning, everyone. And Bible study that I thought we'd look into is called The Refiner's Fire. And, excuse me, my study that I did here would probably take me about 15 minutes to read, so then I'd be done. And so it's going to be, depending on I'm not a teacher by any way, so I'm just going to lead out in the study. And if I can get some participation, that'd be excellent. And but before we start, I think we're just going to have a time of prayer here. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. And thank you that we can look into your word and see what you want us to learn. And ask that you would guide us, Lord. Help us to seek you from our hearts, and that we could live abundant lives for you, Lord, no matter what difficulties we find ourselves in. So we pray that you would guide us and go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Refiner's Fire is, that's what I've entitled it, and I would like to look at what God means when he refers to refining by fire, what his purpose is, and in conclusion, we want to how we can keep our perspectives while going through the fire. So, first off, I got some scripture that we want to look at, but my question would be, what does it mean when the scripture says to go through the fire? And I have some references here that we can look at to get us started as we look into that. Isaiah 43, verse 2. I'm just going to get, instead of me looking through all of them and me reading them, I think I'm just going to get some of you to read them. And Jonathan, do you want to look at Isaiah 43, verse 2? And Derek, would you mind looking at 48, verse 10. And Mike, do you want to do Zechariah 13, verse 9? And then we'll just pass it on down. I got Jeremiah 9, verse 7. Leon, do you want to look after that one? Excuse me. Psalm 66, 10 to 12. Lawrence, do you want to get that one? And I have 1 Peter 4, verse 12. And I forget, Marvin. Do you want to look after that one? Thank you. So do you want to start off with that?
Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you.
Isaiah 48, verse 11.
Verse 10, sorry.
Verse 10, sorry. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction.
Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Jeremiah 9:7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people?
Psalm 66, 11 to 12, 10, 11, and 12. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. You captured us in your net and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. Then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance.
1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, there we are. Verses all talk about different, but it's all talking about the same thing, going through the fire. And what I'm gonna dive right in. What are the examples of tests that we might go through? And I mean, we can dissect these verses if we want, but I think we're going to come out at the same place. As we're going to eventually come to the part where it says, I mean, what are the examples that we do go through? We go through tests or trials or any kind of encounters that we might go through. And I think we all, as Christians, if we're not going through the fire, haven't gone through the fire, you will go through the fire. And I think I didn't pick this topic. Excuse me. I didn't pick this topic because, I picked it because it's something in reality that we do go through. And I think it's because we in our own lives, we don't tell people, hey, I'm going through the fire right now. We should be talking about that kind of thing. And so we can encourage each other. But we don't necessarily do that in our humanity. So, and that's kind of the reason for this Bible study, that we can maybe grow and encourage each other and be strengthened. I don't have the answers. That's why I'm bringing it as a discussion and a time of... So, and the examples of tests that we might go through, one is illness. Or trials, or a fire that we might encounter. Yes. Disappointment, yep. Right. Absolutely. Obedience to the Lord, that's very true. Some might be infirmities like physical limitations or illnesses, like it was already mentioned. A fiery trial could be something like an intense encounters or of struggles such as bursts of anger, grief, or lust.
There's a certain suffering that comes from resisting temptation. I think of Hebrews 12, he says that if you consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged.
Lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls, for you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And then also in 1 Peter 4, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So I think there's a testing and a you could call it a fiery trial in resisting sin.
Okay, well, that's that next question would be the reference that I wrote down for my next question. So that's good. We're on the right page. Some of the I agree with you that Hebrews 12 and some of the necessities we go through fire trials, necessities to beware and care of daily responsibilities, distresses, tribulations, temptations, all those are different examples of trials or a fire we encounter, tests. And I guess the next question would be, how do we know when the trials you are going through is to purify you? Or being disciplined or chastened? Or an attack from the devil? So when you're going through, okay, go ahead. When you're going through what you think is some strange thing that has happened, like Hebrews 12, verse 6 talks about being disciplined or chastened, or is it an attack from the devil, from like Job, or is it simply purifying? How do we discern that? How do we know that?
I was going to mention Job because he seems to be the epitome of suffering and trials in the Bible. If anyone lost anything, or if anyone stands for someone who has lost everything through trial, Job would certainly be one of the first ones to come to mind. I don't know if I can be understood, but I'm not sure that I could decipher between an attack from the devil or being disciplined. It seems to me that Job was being disciplined, and it was an attack from the devil, and that attack was only the rod in God's hand, if I could put it that way.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
I don't know if I can always discern which one of those three it is, even in my own life. But I do think one scripture that would apply to all three of them would be, and that has often been a strength and a comfort to me, is in where it talks about we know, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So I guess in all three of those, at least that verse would apply, that whether it's chastening from God, a spanking, or whether it's an attack from Satan, or whether it's, what was the third one?
Discipline and purifying.
Purifying, I mean, it's in all three cases, we know that if we love God and we're called according to his purpose, then it's going to work out for our good.
I'm sort of thinking out loud here, but aren't all three of them very closely connected? Because the chastening, doesn't God allow Satan to bring something into our lives? If we're chastened, that's not directly from God, is it? Like in the case of Job, God said, okay, you can do this. And isn't that how it would be when we're chastened? So it all can look like the same thing, because it all, so in my opinion, comes from Satan.
So there's a question I'm wondering about. I know Scripture tells us that the Lord chastens whom he loves. I guess I'm wondering if chastening wouldn't come from God, because discipline usually comes when God sees we need growth an area of our life. You don't chasten your child just because you see a need for growth. You chasten him because he needs a specific area of growth that you're watching. I don't know. To me, it just seems like chastening is something God gives us in testing and some of those things. So my question is: Is it chastening if we can't figure out that if we don't come to a conclusion at some point that God was working on something in my life that He saw as an area of weakness?
That's why it's so difficult at times when you're going through the fires to discern what it's all about. I think we're going to step out of this section for a bit here and look at a little more practical things. How is silver or gold refined or purified? More purifying than refined, because refining is a little different. Does anybody know? I didn't look. I'm not a scientist or anything. How is it purified? The silver or the gold? A lot of heat, yeah. From my understanding, I looked into it a little bit, but the refiner sits very carefully and watches it and puts it into the hottest part of the fire. And what happens is that the dross, which is the impurities inside it, float to the top. And then the refiner, when he's there, has to be very quick to scoop it off, to clean off the dross. If they don't, it goes back into the metal and contaminates it again. The one thing about silver is that the refiner knows it's pure when he can see his image in it. Gold is a little different. It's transparent when it's at its purest state. So that, to me, was quite pretty neat. I think God wants to see His image in us, when we're refined, and we're going through the fire and through the trials. It's really no different than the purifying of these metals that He has. So, and what I found, and I was working at a place this week down close to Toronto, and it's not a very Christian atmosphere, but there's one guy there that he is a Christian, and I just told him, he said, "So how's your faith?" I said, "Well," I said, it's not always easy, you know, it's there's a trial." I said, "And actually I'm doing a Bible study on this," and he told me about this, and I looked at it, and then through the scriptures you can see about the dross, you know, and how it, and he said, you know, how they scoop it off, and if you don't, it goes, and I said, "Wow, that's, it goes back into the metal," and I thought, "Wow, that's quite intriguing, quite interesting," I thought, and that's how it is if we don't look after the impurities in our life. When God cleans them out, if we don't do something about them, or if we don't allow Him to do that, it just goes back in, and we become at the same state as we were. Let's carry on here. Does anybody have any comments or anything? Just feel free to break in and speak, because
There's an interesting phrase in the book of Revelations where it says, it refers to streets of gold, and then it says clear as crystal. And I'd often wondered about that, like how can gold be clear as crystal? And I'm, as you had said, I'm not a scientist either, and I don't know if this is actually true. I've never read it. One place I read one time, a person said that when you look at gold bars, you know, see pictures and so forth, it's usually classified as, what is it, 99.9% pure or something like that. Nothing is 100%. And this writer claimed, and I've never come across the information anywhere else, that if gold is purified to 100%, it's clear as crystal. I don't know. I just read that.
Well, if it isn't, according to God's standard, it looks like it is. Thinking of God as a parent, he sees things afar off. So I believe God is already doing things in our lives that would change us in the future. We many times respond or react sometimes to what our children do, but God's perfect, so he knows what to bring when. Job's life, for an example. He didn't know what was going on. But we do. We see the picture. We know how good God was, and it's really encouraging what a good thing it is. This is the kingdom of God. This is God has never made a mistake. We think sometimes when Adam and Eve fell, we can feel in our hearts, oh, that, what a mistake. If they just wouldn't have done that, you know, and we can contemplate what would have looked like. But what a glorious thing the church is. The letter this morning, John D. always makes a big deal of how the church is a picture of the kingdom of God when the grace of God is flowing. What a glorious thing it is that there's actually grace being poured into our life, power outside of ourselves, in times of real need. If there was no need, we wouldn't need the grace. But we have some real needs as we walk and live in the flesh. And what a joy it is. Paul said, there was a messenger of Satan came to buffet him, keep beating him. It was a messenger of Satan. God doesn't give bad gifts, but he does allow things. And he knew that that was going to be good for Paul. This messenger of Satan, lest he be exalted. We all have the potential. If Paul had it, so do we. We all have the potential of being exalted beyond who we really think we are or really are.
So God is looking for to transform us. He wants to completely, he wants us to be completely transparent before him. He wants to see his own image in us, and he is trusting us to remove the impurities in our lives as they come to the surface. What does the Bible say about going through the fire? End results. Psalms 66 is, if you want to turn to that, Psalm 66, 10 to 12. I think maybe we read that already, but let's look at that. Psalm 66, verse 10, 11, and 12. For thou, O God, hast proved us and hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net and laid afflictions upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. And Job 23:10. Read that one yet? Job 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Pure and transparent, and isn't that what God wants? And so when so that Bible verse keeps coming back to me, is like as though some strange thing has happened. And that's something that we tend to think about, you know, what is going on? Like, why am I going through what I'm going through? And is it Satan? Did I do something wrong? Is there a sin in my life? Or is there Like, what is it, you know? And and God is faithful. He will show you what it is. He will show you. And so I think it's a fiery trial that we face. That's what we tend to do. We wonder what is actually going on. And any thoughts on?
Yeah, I know in my own life, speaking from the past, you said something about things come to the surface, and I knew when some things came to the surface that this, and then what happened after that, or at the same time or whatever, around that time period, that God was chastening me, and I didn't have to figure it out and very long, you know, ask God why. I knew exactly that He was chastening me. I don't think the Lord chastens us in, or He doesn't want us to be, anyway, He doesn't want us to be oblivious of it and just go on our merry way, because He wants us to, and there's something about a child, when you discipline them, they know, when you explain to them why you're getting this chastening, it's because of wrong. And I believe God shows us the wrong that comes to the surface and the chastening that follows. It's something much different than testing. And I knew in our own family circumstances where I lost a sister and two sisters and a brother in my family. I took that as some fiery trials of testing and for our family, and God's will in bringing that fiery trial of into our lives.
And I open it up for any testimony. I actually thought of it as, I thought if somebody has testimonies that they want to talk about through this time, I was like, open it up. I mean, we have a lot of time yet.
Yeah, Derek basically put into words what I was going to say as well. But as a father, it's very important to me when I discipline my children that they clearly understand what they're being disciplined for. And I don't spare anything to make sure I've done my best to communicate it to them. And I like to think God is the same way, that He's not there disciplining without... And I also know what it is like to have a child that will bring up every excuse and not want to see it. And I suppose we can be that way too.
The passage that I think of in relation to being tried with fire, it's in 1 Corinthians 3. I think I'll begin reading at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, and this foundation is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer that loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through fire. I think it just says what many people have been saying. The first three that he mentions, the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, that would be the gold, silver, and precious stones, surviving, but being refined. And obviously the others would burn up and need to be scooped off the top, so to speak. I guess for different things that I could think of that would seem like a fiery trial. And grief or loss is always, it seems like a fiery trial. Our first child was, our first child died a few days, or a few hours, I should say, before he was born. But I don't know that, it was a trial for sure. And it was a fiery trial, but it was a trial where we knew that God was doing. Like, I don't know, we had questions like, was God disciplining us for something? And I don't know that I could say today that I know he was disciplining us for, you know, a certain something. It was true that we felt almost guilty because it had been, we had expected to be married a little longer before we had a child and so forth. And you have these questions about whether this is a discipline, whether God was trying to teach us something. And I'm positive that he was trying to teach us something. But one thing I would say it is more what I felt from God than something that my head would tell me, is that when you're going through a trial like that, God is not vindictive. He is not out to slap you around. And even if he needed to teach us something, and this was how he chose to teach it to us, he was not at a distance. We felt God embrace us more in that time than we did otherwise.
I believe it's a principle that the purity of the end result is determined by the heat of the fire and the length of time spent in it. There's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, "Having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." And when one finds himself in a position where he's being falsely accused and lies being said about you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, you just simply have to stand back and be quiet and let this thing carry on, it's not a test of a physical test, it's a test of a spiritual test, where you let that thing roll on and just stand back and be quiet about it and leave it in the Lord's hands to deal with it.
I think sometimes we can be like Jeremiah, where we think we're the only ones, you know, going through the fire, like we're in a situation in life where we think, yeah, this is, and you know, there's times where we have to, every time we have to look at it to God. We can't, no one else can help us except for, we got to look to the Savior, and he's the only one. But we have each other to work through the issues that we come into in life, and that is a real blessing, I'll tell you that. And if you have someone you can go to, and thanks for everything that has been mentioned already. And for the question here, truth is, we will all go through the fire. Each trial is unique to you as an individual, a couple, or a family. If we are born again followers of Jesus Christ, how can we ensure that when it's our turn to go through the fire, that we'll come through as gold? We've all heard the quote, what doesn't break you will make you stronger, and you will either get bitter or better. These are true statements. But where do we get our strength and endurance and courage when it's us through the fire or in the fire? So yeah, I just open it up to anybody else that wants to contribute. Now, Daniel 3, turn to Daniel 3, chapter 3, 12 to 17. I'm just going to read that. Daniel 3, 12 to 17. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. And they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If thou be so our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's a physical, spiritual, that's every fire, you know? And they weren't afraid to go and, what about us? Where do we find ourselves when we find ourselves in that position, in the fire, in our own lives? How did these men do it? They had a solid faith in God. They knew they would be delivered one way or another, either unharmed or with him in heaven. Jesus will always be by our side in the fire and trying times that we have. Romans 8:28, the ending says, to them who are called to his purpose. If we're going through the fire, it's for a purpose. And all things come together for good. That's a promise. Let's be aware of each other's needs. Notice when the heat of the fire is being intensified. Bear one another's burdens. Pray, if needed. Hold each other's arms up. And don't be afraid to share when you're in the heat yourself. Christians who are going through the fire are susceptible to discouragement, fear, and even feelings of anger and disillusionment. I have some following scriptures here that are a great encouragement to help you to keep your perspective during difficult times. And that's the big thing when you're going through the fire, is to keep your perspective and not give up, you know. And it's so easy when you're in the fire that you want to give up. And it's not to... The fire is not a thing to make us, to see if they'll make it. I think our I'm looking for the word, the refiner, our refiner, which is Jesus Christ, is not seeing if we can endure it. He knows we can endure it, but it's that will we give up in that, and that's not his desire at all that we give up. Does anybody else have any comments, any thoughts? Go ahead before I'm going to shut her down here very shortly here. Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whither thou goest. That's encouragement. I have like 11 verses here of an encouragement, but I'm seeing I'm running out of time, and I'm not going to take more time than I... but I'm going to just read some of these verses off here, the references, and you can look at them on your own. The one I read was Joshua 1, verse 19. If you want to write them down, you can. You don't have to, but Psalms 27, verse 1, and Psalms 46, 1 to 2, Psalms 56, verse 4, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, Isaiah 41, 10, Matthew 28, 20, John 14, 27, John 16:33, Romans 5:3-5, and Romans 8:38-39. I'm just going to read one here yet. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life, and whom shall I be afraid? Great comfort. Yes, there's verses, but one verse is the encouragement that we need, and the rest of them are just confirmations of encouragement. And if you ever find yourself in a situation where you feel like what's going on, or look to the Savior, and he'll carry you through. Thanks for your time.